You're listening to the C Word Radio, the podcast where we ask, what the fuck does young cancer survivorship mean? With me, Helen King, and guests. Subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hello and welcome back to the C Word Radio. It is awesome to have you with me. It has been a hot minute since I last produced an episode, so I thought it was time to plug in the mic again and reconnect with you, my people, my cancer community. My last episode aired in July and I finished off last season with two episodes looking at neurodiversity and cancer. I've talked a lot about being someone who was late diagnosed with ADHD, and if any of that resonates with you, check out those last two episodes where I talked to two people about how being autistic or having ADHD has impacted their lives, but also how they navigated a cancer diagnosis. It is great to be back. I initially thought I would take a month off, and that month has kind of turned into two or three. I think what happened was I hit a brick wall. I reached the podcaster's equivalent of a writer's block, but I'm back. What you can expect in the coming months are more interviews with people like yourself who have been impacted by cancer. But I really want to get into conversations about how do you get on with life? It's a big question and it's one I can't answer. So let's explore it together and with other people who get this stuff. I'm glad I took a break though, because you know, creating content can get really, it can get quite draining. And I think when you're dealing with something like cancer, I hadn't realized how heavy it was. And maybe you can relate to this, that when cancer has been your reality, you need to balance out the other things that you have in your life. All of this kind of coincided with a time where, you know, it was winter. There was more madness going on in the world. I took a job that didn't work out for so many reasons, and that really knocked my confidence and drained me of energy. And it's been a kind of up and down few months, and I haven't had that space to really podcast. Not all of it was bad. I have had some pretty cool stuff going on as well. I worked on my first commercial podcast. If you are in New Zealand, you may be familiar with our longest running soap, Shortland Street. And I had this amazing opportunity to work on the 30th anniversary podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes because it was, in my opinion, my totally unbiased opinion, it's an awesome podcast. Even if you have stopped watching and you used to watch when you were a kid or a teenager, you will recognize some of the guests. And it's a blast from the past. I also reached another milestone of 4 years post-diagnosis. And in some ways, I don't like to put too much emphasis on that stuff. I kind of feel like one of the hard things about a cancer diagnosis is that every year you're ticking it off. And I kind of feel like that adds to the anxiety of, you know, 4 years post-diagnosis, next year I'll be five. Does that mean it's never coming back? To be honest, what I've learned from, you know, this podcast and knowing other people who have had cancer is that it can kind of come back at any time. And that is one of the truly shitty things that we deal with. And I just don't know how, and this is for me, I don't know how healthy it is to really fixate on how many years post-diagnosis I am. And maybe that is part of the getting on with life and embracing life is, yeah, just not focusing too much on the time element, because I feel like for me especially it just adds to that sort of fear of your reoccurrence. I'm not sure if I'm explaining it that well, and I would love to know, you know, what you think. Do you put much emphasis on celebrating milestones? How do you cope with anxiety? Let me know and I will share with everyone else.
I do want to acknowledge the passing of a past guest. And, you know, this is one of the challenging things about creating content and interviewing people who are impacted by cancer, is that it can come back, or it is metastatic at the time of diagnosis, and those are very real realities. And a beautiful young woman, Amanda Wallace, was my guest a few months ago. Amanda was from Idaho and had been dealing with leukemia, and I got a message from her mum through Amanda's Instagram to let me know that Amanda had passed away recently. Yeah, and it's really weird, because I guess part of me feels like because I didn't know her personally. I mean, I knew her for the hour we spent together online talking and interviewing, and I always feel like it's such a privilege when someone shares their story with you. It was just a really weird feeling to know that this person had passed away. And yeah, that hit me, to be honest. It was quite confronting, I guess is the right word. So what I'm going to do is to really acknowledge Amanda. I'm going to, at the end of this episode, I will attach a clip to Amanda talking about what survivorship meant to her. I just really want to recognize her and her family, because this is the everlasting impact of cancer, is that people's lives end too soon, and that ripple is felt far beyond their families. It goes into the community and across the world when that person has touched lots of different lives. So what can you expect in this episode? I am going to share with you some of the insights that I've had taking time out, taking time off social media over the past 2 or 3 months, and some of the realizations and lessons that I've learned around healing and around what cancer survivorship means for me. Taking that break was really good. Not being on social media as much was great for my mental health. And do you know, what I really noticed is I stopped really worrying so much about what I look like, for a start. I wasn't constantly comparing myself to people I saw on social media. And a lot of that fear of reoccurrence really died down when I wasn't immersed daily in cancer social media. I think when I recorded released the last episode, a lot of people started passing away, which is a very real part of being a cancer survivor, is that reoccurrences happen, and people that you might have followed or you've connected with die. And I found that really challenging, to be honest, and not having that in my daily life felt really good. And it's funny, because I started to think, you know, maybe I'm done. Maybe I've said all I needed to say. Maybe this part of my life is done with, and I've discovered the elusive formula of getting on with my life. And dear listener, I can safely report that I have not. I have not discovered the magic formula for getting on with life, because what has happened is that I've realized that as much as your life can rebuild and change and move on from your cancer diagnosis or the treatment and aftermath of treatment, is that the memory of cancer is always there. And just when you think that you have dealt with one layer of shit, the next layer of shit to be dealt with. And that's where I am, to be honest. I've realized I need you guys. I need this podcast still as a way of connecting, a way of creating and giving back, a way of processing stuff, because that's what this podcast has given to me, is a way to process what's happened after the diagnosis. Was, as a lot of us know, it is after treatment ends that the hard work begins. The title of this episode is very clickbaity, I will acknowledge that, and it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because I don't really know how you get on with life or how you get over your cancer diagnosis. But what I do know is that to process what has happened and to process your grief and to process your trauma, you need to acknowledge the feelings that go on with that. What I thought I'd do is share some of that process with you and share some of the things that I've been doing that is helping. So the first part of healing that I think doesn't get talked about enough is the fact that a lot of us finish our treatment and there's this pressure to be better and to be over things and to be grateful that you're alive. And don't get me wrong, I am extremely grateful that I am 4 years post-diagnosis and that so far it seems that the treatment I had has worked. I think that to get to a place of complete acceptance and gratitude, you have to allow yourself space to not be grateful, to be really angry, to be really pissed off that you got cancer and that cancer has impacted your life. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to be really damn angry about it, because underneath that anger is likely to be grief or sadness or regret or frustration. Because for a lot of us, and I especially think this is true of the younger cancer community, is that our life has not panned out in the way that we thought it would. Our life hasn't turned out in the way that, in quotation marks, it should. Many of us have not been able to have children. Many of us have relationships that break down or careers that stall. And many of us can't get back to those things for a while. And so I think there needs to be a greater acknowledgement that's actually part of the process and part of the grieving, part of the letting go. And I'm saying this stuff out loud because I need to hear it at the moment, because I've hit another layer of grief, I think, where I've had this realization that I am really angry and that I am really sad that life hasn't turned out in the way that I had hoped. Because 6 or 7 years ago, my dream was to move to the UK. I have a British passport. I had a ticket. I was all ready to go. And then all this stuff happened. And I think there's part of me that still feels really robbed in a way that didn't happen. And I know on so many levels that's a very privileged dream to have, and it's a privilege to have been in that position. I guess it doesn't take away the frustration and the sadness that it didn't happen. And through some of the work that I've been doing around grief and really figuring out who I am, is that back then I didn't realize and I didn't see my power or strength. I had a lot of people around me saying that I was too weak, that I wouldn't cope, or that I wouldn't be able to handle going overseas and doing those things. And what I've learned is that's not true. I have an enormous amount of strength. I have an enormous capability to go through extremely difficult things and to rise and to keep going and to try and build something beautiful out of those ashes. And I think at the moment what I'm processing is that, I guess, almost anger that I, or disappointment in myself and other people that I believed that. These past few months really have been about those major realizations about who I actually am once you pull away all the labels other people gave me and the scripts that I had about myself. Yeah. And so, yeah, I wonder if other people can relate to that, that when you go through cancer, you realize the depths of despair that you can, that you can actually get to and come out of. So I think that's one thing that a lot of us probably don't recognize or acknowledge enough is that we are bloody strong. And I know that it's one of those things that can get annoying when people say, oh, you're so brave, you're such a warrior. But I think what that bravery and strength actually is the ability to go through that stuff and still be standing at the other end and be willing to keep engaging in life. So that's one of the major realizations that I've had is around acknowledging the anger and acknowledging the hurt and frustration that life doesn't always happen in the way that we hope. Because I can look at my life and think, I am so grateful for my dogs. Like I've often say to people, one of the greatest things about being an adult is that you can have dogs. And I have a happy relationship. I have a roof over my head. I have a new career I enjoy. But I'm also allowed to be disappointed that other parts of my life haven't turned out. I am extremely sad that I can't have children. And I think that you can grow other things that give you meaning and enjoyment in your life, but nothing can really replace those things. What I am coming to realize and learn more and more about grief and about processing these difficult emotions is that it's becoming more and more about acknowledging it and growing around it. Because at the moment, and this may change, maybe in 4 years' time, I'll have a different thought on this, but at the moment, my belief really is that you don't get over a cancer diagnosis. You grow around it and you go through it, and that it's part of your life, and that to really not let it suck you under and keep you stuck in all the shit is to acknowledge all of these things that come up. And I think with October fast approaching, and for a lot of people who've had breast cancer, it's a tricky time because there's a disconnect during Pink October of what survivorship is and what it really is like to have gone through a cancer diagnosis and the amount of things that you lose in that. It's really an enormous event in someone's life. And what I hope to do as I continue with this podcast is to really share that and to encourage other people in their healing process to be okay in the muckiness of it all. The other major realization that I've had recently is that I have an enormous amount of trauma around anything to do with medical stuff and my cancer. And I will give you some examples. I think this is going to be the easiest way to explain this stuff. And I would love to hear if other people do this as well. It's things like, I hate going for any tests anymore. Like, I will put things off. It's very difficult for my doctor to get me to get a blood test because I just, like any medical setting for me now, I just find it really stressful and anxiety inducing. Took me, I have lymphedema and I'm a very bad lymphedema patient, and I got referred to go and get a new sleeve in April. It is now September and I only just went and got it. And what I realized through these experiences is that I hate doing anything that reminds me that I had cancer. And it's really hard to ignore this stuff because it's like, well, I have lymphedema and I need to manage it, and I need to manage that through wearing my sleeve. And I really realized recently when I went and got my new sleeve that I hate acknowledging that I had cancer and that this is the ongoing impact of my treatment, is that I have nerve damage and lymphedema. And it came up as well because my breast subsidy, it renews this month, so I can get a new breast. And that brought up a lot of stuff around the fact that I can't have reconstruction because I don't qualify for it because of the size of my body. And the size of my body is because I went through a hugely traumatic experience and it has taken a long time to, yeah, to get energy back and to heal and to exercise and then try and find a bra that fits. Like all of, yeah, I could go into detail about that, but it just, the essence of it is that bra shopping now is not fun because I find it hard to find anything that really fits and I have to be aware of, is it going to set off the nerve damage under my arm? Am I going to put my prosthesis in it and all of those things? It's no longer, you know, I can go buy a lovely new bra and a sexy pattern or a nice pattern. It's just not like that for me anymore. And so I think I ignore it. I think there's part of me that has switched off from my body, from my neck down. That's some of the stuff that's been swirling around these past few months. Because I don't know about anyone else. I would love to hear from you. If you relate to any of the stuff, please get in touch with me. I've talked about this with previous guests on the podcast where often what happens when you go through something like cancer, a major life altering event, is that it stirs up lots of other stuff. And so what I am really experiencing is that as I'm facing and walking into the feelings that have come up around the cancer, what's actually underneath there are all the other layers of stuff that I've never dealt with, and now I'm dealing with them. And what I'm trying to hold on to, and what I've always tried to hold on to, even in the deepest, darkest times of my life, is that it will get better. I just hold on to that hope that it will get better and that there is something better for me coming. Because without that hope and without that sort of faith that the universe has got this, I think it would be a lot harder. And I don't know why I seem to be able to hold on to that hope, but it has got me through. So you may be wondering at this point, what have you been doing, Helen? What are some of the things that have been helping you create these realizations? So I am a firm believer now, after exploring issues around grief and trauma, that a lot of what we need to do to process our trauma, especially if you've gone through something like cancer, where it's a bodily thing, take this back a couple of steps, that if you think back to when you went through treatment, no matter whether you get breast cancer or colon cancer, ovarian, your body becomes very medicalized and it's no longer a body as such. It's something that needs to be cured. It's something that gets cut open or zapped with radiation or chemo drugs. And so I think the body stores a lot of that trauma and grief. And I think there's a time and a place for talk therapies. They're great. I think talking to other people about this stuff, talking to a professional is a great idea. Body work is really important. So I have been doing things like meditation. I find really helpful, especially to tap into how I'm feeling, because I do struggle to figure out how I'm feeling sometimes. So taking that time to go, okay, let's tap in and see what's going on. I have done a couple of sessions of breath work, which is something I will talk about more in an upcoming episode. I'm going to bring on a practitioner to talk more about it. Breath work is quite amazing. It's an intense experience, and I don't know how to explain it, but I'll put some links in the show notes so you can read more about it. But it does make you really connect in with your body. Some of this stuff can be really hard if you have been through trauma, because connecting in with your body is the last thing you want to do. But part of me just wants to rip that band-aid off, because I don't want to be trapped in the past. I don't want to be trapped in that sadness and grief around the cancer. And so I guess in some ways I'm walking right into it. So body work stuff has been really good for me. I've been exploring new hobbies and things. I have started drawing and painting again. I have started to learn to roller skate, although I did fall over and I have a mild sprain in my head, but that's okay. Like, I've just been trying to recreate and bring joyful things into my life, because I think for a very long time it has been not so joyful, and especially with the pandemic as well. That's a whole other kettle of fish. It's a whole other conversation of how that has impacted us. But yeah, bringing in joyful things has been a really, really important part of this process, and really reconnecting with me and who I am and what I like and what I love. So I would encourage anyone to do that. Some people call it inner child work. You may think back to things that you like to do as a kid that you don't do anymore. If you have children or young people in your life, you'll know that kids have this amazing ability just to run in and do things. They haven't been influenced by self-doubt and those sorts of things that you do as an adult. Those are just some things that I have been doing and realizations that I've had in the past, I guess, couple of months while I have been taking a break from the podcast. And I wanted to share them with you because sharing is caring, as my nephew will say. And I think that, yeah, we could all use a little bit of inspiration from time to time on our healing. Oh, I hate this word. You know I hate this word. Our healing journeys, past processes, whatever you want to call it. So what you can expect in the coming months on the C Word Radio podcast is that I'm going to keep on the theme of healing, and I'm going to be having people on the show that can talk about different modes of healing and talk to people who are a little bit further down the track in their post-cancer life. Because I had an email conversation with a fellow survivor, and I think this is something a lot of us do really struggle with, is figuring out how the heck do you get on with life? Because I don't necessarily have the answer to that, because it's so complex and there's so many layers to it. But I feel like that's the conversation we need to keep having, and I will find people who can have those conversations and share with you. So thank you for bearing with me. I have just needed this time to have some, some introspection and a bit of time away from creating content. I think this little session on the couch talking to you has helped me really get back into that place of creating podcast episodes. Please subscribe so when new episodes come out, you will get notified. Sign up to my newsletter. I will be sending more via my newsletter. Or come follow me on Facebook and Instagram. I am trying to be a little bit more present on there. I just want to limit it a bit so I don't get so pulled into that stuff. So I will see you next time. Stay safe out there and get in touch and tell me what brings you joy and what you have been doing that really nurtures your soul.
Because at first, you know, you're starting off like on flat ground, and then actually what my oncologist says, it's like a marathon. Because you have to do, you know, make sure that you're in remission for 6 months. And then once that mark hits, you're like, hey, I'm going to, you know, try it for a year. And once you get that to that 1 year, you're like, what do we do now? Because, you know, we're always expecting for the other shoe to drop. So I guess it means a lot of different things to me. Like, it's happy, it's a good feeling that you survived cancer. But now that you have all these other issues that's happening, they did not prepare me for this at all. Because when we start doing treatment, they tell us if once we survive, we will have a whole lot of issues.
Thanks so much for listening. The C Word is every Sunday at 11:55 a.m. on Auckland's 104.6 Planet FM. And anytime at www.planetaudio.org.nz/the C Word.
for too far. Tsuku na tori ga kite ta oki. E kore a mui e hokia. Now I'm not i tsuku i ga tonga. Kua kore e fiti mai te ra.
Ooh. sky. There may be hope, but you're too scared to try. You've been through it. Can't undo it because you burned it all down. You burned it all down.
Don't need your permission. For too long, I've wanted your but never let it get this bad. But life is better now. Take a hit of chronic liberation, and your face in sudden conversation. I agree on the best you ever, but life is better now.
Because I was horny and I felt like it.
Throw it back and watch you make it disappear. Like your voice going in and out the other ear. As no one told you, I don't really fucking care. Did you wait for that come up? I've been getting bored, so I'ma need another. Ice on my skin and sex on my brain. I don't get what's in your head, but life is better. Should never let it get this bad, but life is better now. Take a hit of chronic liberation, and your face in sudden conversation. I agree on the best you ever, but life is better now. Oh, life is better now, 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 better now.
And if you know, you know, you don't know it's too cold. And if you know, you know, you don't know, now you know, baby. And if you know, you know, you don't know it's too cold.
Alive, I was deluded. I lit the fire that burned the city to the ground. I was blind, I couldn't see what I was doing, but I can see it now.
I'm anxious, restless, always stuck in my brain, losing focus. Think I'm going insane, constant heartbreak, waiting right on the edge for it to happen again.
Me, I'm beating like a drum. All I wanna do is rap a pump. lies in appropriation. Just wanna show appreciation. She number one, eh? Need to come and meet the true champion. You know she wanna go with us to fun. Wahine Gwan girl, you're hotter than the burning sun.
She is the one, she is the champion. The only one who can do it better. We be the one who play the music loud. Some control, come and give me a let up. She be the one, she is the champion. Shake the body on another level. She the one that control the flow. Make me wanna come to and get up. Wagwan girl, Wagwan, love your style and your fashion. Look my way, but not to come when the girl get your attention. Yeah. Wagwan girl, Wagwan, love my tune and love my song. That's right, and you love me long, feeling like you're the one. She never come on my street, the girl never open my sheet. She know that my heart play keeps them in too deep. And I got my love for weeks, God, girl, girl, you see. That I'm nice and keen, you don't want to fulfill my dreams, but still I look for a more and more on the floor as far as the eye can see. She is the one, she is the champion, the only one who can do it better. Champion. We be the one who play the music loud, sound control, come and give me a let up. She be the one, she is the champion, shake the body on another level. She's the one that control the floor, make me wanna go. The only one who can do it better. We be the one who play the music loud. Sound control, come and give me a let up. She be the one, she is the champion. Shake the body on another level. She the one that control the flow. Make me wanna come through and get up.
What does that mean? You come my way and you make a brother won't stop saying. You grab my heart and you take it away. So me sick of it, no delay. Think of it, hey, hey, yo. You know my heart don't play.
I cut off all communication. Won't call you, won't initiate it. Too hot and I need a vacation. I'm selfish, don't need your permission. For too long I wanted your attention. But there's something I forgot to mention. In your head, but life is better now. Won't commit, don't need your validation. Valley tips said, fuck your moderation. Shouldn't ever let it get this bad, but life is better now. Take a hit of chronic liberation. In your face, I'm starting conversation. I agree, I'm the best you ever, but life is better now.
Because I was horny and I felt like it.
Throw it back and watch you make it disappear. Like your voice going in and out the other ear. As no one told you, I don't really fucking care. Did you wait for that come up? I've been getting bored, so I'ma need another. Ice on my skin and sex on my brain. I don't care what's in your head, but life is better. Shouldn't ever let it get this bad, but life is better.
ground. I was blind, I couldn't see what I was doing, but I can see it now.
Anxious, restless, always stuck in my brain, losing focus. Think I'm going insane, constant heartbreak. Waiting right on the edge for it to happen again. I used to be so reckless. How could I forget this? Wasting.
It's hard when I don't even know if you care. I guess I gotta wait.